We're just going to ask Holy Spirit to come. Because I really believe that the preaching of the word is for the edification of the body. And what that means in English, not theologicalese, is that the preaching of the word is for the edification of me, of you, of Joseph, of the person beside you, of Mike, you know, of Art. God is actually wants to edify us through his word, and the only way we can really be edified through the word of God is by receiving it inside of our spirits. Ha! Like I've said a million times, you can know you need to go on a diet, and you can be at the Burger King saying, oh man, I need to go on a diet. Can I have a double Whopper with cheese, please? And that just means that the word is in your head, but it's not in your heart. You know, the man who's got the word in his heart is at the Subway ordering the low-cal sub and actually like doing what he feels is right because he has a passion for it. Passion. You know, when you have a passion for something, it's not hard to do. You ever notice that? It doesn't feel like work when you have a passion for it. Ha. It totally doesn't feel like work when you have a passion for it. And, you know, me, as a leader, people always ask me, like, what my leadership style is, if I could define it. It would be really simple. I tend to try to lead by example. So I have a passion for church unity. Especially, you know, I've sang a lot of unity songs and I've cried a lot of unity prayers. And that's really great because, you know, I had it in my head. But you know how I know when I had it in my heart? Take a guess. Now I started going off to the North Toronto Leaders meeting. And it was just a bunch of pastors getting together praying for the city. About 20 of us. Usually 15 of us, actually. And I just started praying. And we were just passionate. And it was amazing. Because God, like, broke out among us. And there was these pastors that were broken and weeping and asking for revival to come. And I was like, wow. And they really, really wanted the Father's love. They really, really wanted revival, and they were like going for it. And I was like, wow, it's true. The anointing is on unity. The Bible says that when there's unity, the anointing flows down from Aaron's beard. And I even got myself even more stirred up. And I started talking to some other pastors that I know about attending these meetings, and they were like, oh, I want to lead something like that one day. And I got mad. I got indignified. Do you know that? Indignified, you know? I was like, listen, if you want to lead something like that one day, maybe you should submit underneath it. And I started going on and on about how it's not about like building our kingdom, but it's really about building the kingdom. You know, I didn't go into my true feelings on it. I didn't even go into my true feelings on it. You know why I didn't go into my true feelings on it? Because my true feelings would be, I'll share it with you, is that sometimes us pastors, we get to be like Aaron. You know, he fashioned a golden calf. And the golden calf was a symbol of success. They took all the gold that God gave them and the glory, gold. They put it into a golden calf and they fashioned it up. And they worshiped their success rather than worshiping God. And sometimes what we'll do is we'll worship all the things that God gave us, like a ministry and a church and all that other stuff. Right? We'll worship it and we'll invite everybody else to come and worship it. But at the end, the Lord showed me that it ends up in bitter waters. People get hurt and people get abused and people get bitter. You know? So I purpose not to do that. Hopefully, Lord will help me not to do that ever. So I didn't tell them that, but I was like, God, we want unity. We want passion. We want fire. Who here wants unity, passion, fire? Yeah. Who wants church to feel like work? I don't want church to feel like work. I totally don't want church to feel like work. If it does, there's something wrong. There really is something wrong. Ha. So I'm going to ask Holy Spirit just to keep coming. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you, Holy Spirit. We praise you, Holy Spirit. And we just ask you to keep coming. So I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about an experience that I had this week. Oh, by the way, your prayers worked. But I need you to keep praying. And I'm going to tell you why, okay? Now, this week, on Sunday night, now, I quit one of my jobs, right? Praise the Lord. Because I wanted to get more involved in God's stuff. But that meant that the job that I quit was a job that paid the most. So I gave myself... It was a long story. But in the end, the one job that I quit wouldn't have paid much more anyways. But so I ended up quitting it. Quitting Air France. And I'm doing the Home Depot. And I go to work on Sunday. And the boss comes out and he has a meeting with us. And you know what he says to us? He says, I'm really, really sorry, but you're all supposed to get phone calls on the weekend because you're all supposed to be laid off. I know, ow. What kind of blessing is that? So me being me, we have everybody in the lunchroom. I said, that's okay. God's got a plan and we're all going to pray for work. He said, looks at me. He's like, you can if you want to. I said, oh, I do want to and I'm going to. I said, I hope all the rest of you guys are going to pray with me. So they all close their eyes. And we prayed for work. We ask God in Jesus' name to provide us with work because we all work hard. They all know I'm a pastor and I witness to them and read my Bible and answer questions and all kinds of stuff. And so we all prayed. Even a couple of them even let out and prayed for work. So the next day we all get phone calls and we're going into work because they have all this surprise loads. Right? It gets better than that. Not only do they do that, but they hire seven of us on. And I was one of the ones that got hired on. See, I was supposed to get two interviews, not one interview. And when my boss had come with me, I thought it was for the second interview. And then he looks at me, says, I knew they were looking at you, but I didn't know they were planning on hiring you on. Unfortunately, the evening shift supervisor saw my resume and she really, 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 really wanted me. So she was like gung-ho to hire me on right away. But that means that I have to work evenings. So now I'm praying my way off evenings. Why not? Why not? Why not? So yeah, so I was like, that was really good. And it was such a testimony to my boss because, like, he just looked at me like, wow, God is really moving. You know, and he even mentioned to one of the other workers, he says, yeah, there seems to be an atmosphere in this place. I don't know what it is, but there's a peace. I've never seen such a relaxed, happy group of guys before. You know, and that's the Holy Spirit. That's totally 100% God moving at my workplace. The problem is, you know, I shared with a bunch of guys that I was preaching on Friday night. And by the way, Holy Spirit showed up and he was awesome and he rocked the place. And people were crying and weeping and falling over and... It was quite powerful on Friday. Yeah, praise the Lord. God was really blessing me. And but the guys at my work, even though they received the miracle and they knew God was real, you know, and I'm trying to invite them out, because a lot of them are trying to get me to go out to the bar with them on Friday. And I was like, no, you don't understand where I'm going. I'm going where the real party's at. Where there's peace and there's love and there's joy and there's God and there's goodness. And they're like, oh, Jay, not now, not now. That's what they said to me, not now, not right now. Because I have a little deal with them. I tend to preach to them when they're hungry. You know, it's better to put a plate of food in front of somebody when they're hungry than less when they're not. That's what I think. And I'm like, God, you showed up and you answered prayers and you moved powerfully. And I've got probably, I'll say at least 5 or 6 of the guys praying to God when I first met them, they weren't, right? And sometimes I get comments like this, if I pray to God, I don't have to become a Christian like you, do I? I'm like, No, God just wants a relationship with you. And I don't know what God's going to make you. You know? I said, just talk to him and see what he says. And so they're talking to God and they're praying to God. And they're getting answers. But they still don't want to, like, go to church. And because they actually see the kingdom of God as work. They don't see it as freedom. Sad. To me, it's sad. You know? Because their passions are in other things. Their passion is not in the things of God, but their passion is in the things of this world. That is pretty evident. And I was given an offering talk on Friday, and I was talking to this lady, and she said to me, you know, God has blessed me with a job and health and wealth, but that's not the most important part. She said, the most important part is that I'm on fire, and my heart is burning for Jesus like never before. And I was like, you got it. You got it. Because really, that's what it's all about. It's not about whether we have a crowd here, we don't have a crowd here. It's not about whether we got health and wealth and all that stuff. But it's really about, you know, is your heart on fire for God? And are you captured by the things that capture his heart? I'm captured by fighting for the unborn and the poor and the orphan. Because those are the things that capture God's heart. I'm captured by the unity of the body of Christ and the cleansing of the body of Christ underneath the head, who is Christ Jesus. Because I know that that's the key to everything else. To actually having God use his body, it needs to be united. Because God isn't coming back for a paraplegic bride. A bride in a wheelchair. You know, I'm passionate about a church that acts like a community instead of a talent show. It acts like a family instead of a business. Because you know why? Because I know that these are the things that makes God's heart pump faster and beat harder. And it doesn't seem like work to me, but it's joy. Because it's just like car guys. I know lots of car guys. I know people that can spend all day fixing cars. And they love it. They're tinkering, toying, and whatnot. I know another person, my brother in particular, is really, really good at fixing cars. But he hates every minute of it. Hates it. Swears while he's doing it. Actually. What's the difference? The one guy is passionate about what he's doing. And the other guy Maybe it's in his head, but it certainly is not inside of his heart. So, without further ado, yeah, I'm getting there. So I asked God about John or not coming, because I talked to him last Sunday, and he was good. And then we called him on Friday, and he was in Florida. So and he'd forgotten. So, you know, Sunday, he's like, hey, how's it going? What's going on? You know, and it was really good. We had a great conversation. I actually had to let him go because I had to put my kids to bed. And we were talking about the hockey game and whatnot. And then, yeah, unfortunately, Veronique called him on Friday, and he was like, oh, I can't go to Midtown. We're like, why? He's like, I'm in Florida. I'm like, oh, okay. But then Holy Spirit was like, you know, I am a senior pastor of this church also. And I know because John Arnott always says that the Holy Spirit is the senior pastor of TACF. He always defers to the Holy Spirit. And he's fought for the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? He didn't just fight the city, but he fought the whole world. He said, I will let God do what he wants to do, no matter what the price is. If I'm alienated from all the other churches, that's okay, as long as I have Holy Spirit pouring out in my church. If people will persecute me, that's okay, as long as I have Holy Spirit pouring out in my church. If people will say that I'm not of God, that's okay. If they separate me from my denomination, that's okay. And as I'll never forget one day during a revival service, Holy Spirit is just flailing, people are cheering, people are laughing, people are crying, people are falling over, people are getting healed. And he stood up to the pulpit and he said, what would make me, some people ask me, what would make me sell out God? What could the devil offer me? Could he offer me the whole world to sell out God? He said, I always give them the same answer. And he looks into the crowd and he smiles. And you know what he yells? Nothing! Nothing. Nothing in this world could get him to sell out God. And he's been very rigorously tested on it. So, rewinding back to Monday, long story short. Sunday night, I get home, I'm like, oh wow, that was a dumb move. I just led my whole work into praying for something that might not happen. You know? And I just flicked quickly to Exodus, and the Lord showed me how the glory, that's Gloria, yeah, how the glory was on the children of Israel. And the Bible says in James that when, James 2, I think it is, that when you have persecution, right, that it means that the Holy Spirit is upon you. And I'm like, God, I don't feel the Holy Spirit right now. All I feel is fear and anxiety. That's what I said to God. And he showed me how the glory was resting upon the children of Israel. And it says in Exodus, it's amazing. It says, when the glory of God rested upon the tabernacle and upon the camp, they stayed in the place where they were at. Exodus 40, 36, 34. Whenever the cloud was taken up above the tabernacle, oh here, 35, and Moses did not enter because of the glory resting And the glory filled the tabernacle. Now, I'm supposed to be a tabernacle. And I'm like, God, I want to be a tabernacle of praise. God, I'm meant to be a tabernacle. I'm meant to be a sanctuary for the Holy Spirit to live in. And he's supposed to reign on my heart. And when the cloud was taking up, the children of Israel would go forward. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not journey until that day it was taken up. Who wants to be like the children of Israel? Who wants to be that tabernacle? Who wants to have the glory resting upon them? I'll tell you the secret. Then we have to walk inside the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, it says, walk inside the Spirit. Go when he says go and stay when he says stay. Be still and know that he is the Lord. That's what the Lord told me. He said, be still and know that I am God. And the next day, the big breakthrough came. The miracle broke out. There was work all week, and the boss was all surprised. Everybody was surprised. And God was being praised. Ha, keep coming, Holy Spirit. And I noticed that in that psalm, be still and know that I am God. Ha. Praise you, Lord. It says that God actually fights for us. God fights for us. And there's places in the Bible where God was, did you know Jehoshaphat was still and knew that God was the Lord? And he went out with a horn, singing praise with no weapons in the middle of the night. And the Lord won that battle for him. The enemy destroyed itself, and he chased them picking up gold articles the whole way. Same thing happened with Gideon. 300 people went to an army of thousands with torches and lamps and horns. They just broke their horn, their torch, and shined their light, and God gave them the victory. So how do we be still and know that God is God? I'm just going to go fast here, okay? God is enthroned upon the praises of his people. And when God is enthroned upon your praises become like a beam of energy that goes out and it shatters the enemy. So today, we're going to praise God. We're going to worship God. We're going to worship him for his goodness. We're going to worship him for his glory. We're going to worship him for his grace. We're going to worship him for his presence. Because when there's nothing left to worship God for, we have God who's still sitting on his throne in spite of it all. And when we do worship God and we approach God, we will find that God will actually lower the scepter. And he'll ask you what you want. And anything you ask in his name, he'll give you. Because that beam of energy will be like an opera singer singing really high with finely tuned crystal. And it will crack and shatter. The enemy will be like that crystal. The wall. Maybe a wall of Jericho. That you've been just marching around, praising God. And the wall will come down because of the sound. You know, and I find that a lot of times the wall in our lives is the wall between our head and our heart, especially in the things of God. Amen.
Yes, sound waves have power in the natural realm, but they do in the spiritual realm as well. So our praise, when we send it forth in the spiritual realm, it breaks stuff. So it becomes intercession. It becomes warfare. And we were talking to this lady from the prophetic Toronto Prophetic Roundtable this week, and she was telling us about this prayer strategy that God put on their hearts, and it's all about shouts of high praise. It's all about just going so high into praise that you shatter things in the spirit. So that's what we want to have in mind today as we keep praising God, to really engage our spirit into that, into knowing that our praise have that much power in the heavenlies. And the other thing I wanted to mention is sometimes we can be kind of lazy spiritually, and we wait to be led. We wait for this like nice feeling to make us worship God. But what God has taught me is to constantly engage. And when you feel you're drifting out of worship and praise, and you know your mind wanders, or you feel like your spirit is not actually there worshiping Him, you ask God to open your heart. You ask God to, you know, to help you, bring you back to that place of worship. You constantly engage. You're the one doing the step to get closer to Him. You're not waiting, you know, for either the team to bring you to a nice feeling place, or you're not waiting for Holy Spirit to come upon you so strong that He'll draw you in. But you're the one saying, I want to worship God. I want to praise God no matter what, and nothing's going to keep me from it. So let's do that today, shall we? Let's stand.
I just want to start everyone off by just whatever's holding you back from worshiping or praising, just like Vero said, just let's just shake it off right now and get rid of it and come to Holy Spirit and come to the cross clean and not holding anything back. If we're upset about anything, if we had a fight with our husband this morning, or spouse, or you didn't get along with your family, or whatever happened, you yelled at a stupid driver on the road, let's just get rid of that right now and come clean before Holy Spirit. You'll find it a lot easier.